Okay, it's already been mentioned that today is Palm Sunday. You know, the triumphal entry of Jesus is mentioned in all four Gospels. The palms are only mentioned, I think, in one, in the Gospel of John. There really aren't a lot of mentions of palms in the Scriptures. At the time of Jesus' triumphal entry, palms essentially represented victory. You know, the palms, in a sense, were a sign of peace and victory, of, in a sense, a conqueror who had come and who had kind of brought an end to the warfare and had brought peace to the people. It was a beautiful picture. When I think of the palms, I think of course, my childhood, I think back to the black and white television watching the ticker tape parade, you know, the astronauts when they would come back from, you know, their missions, or ticker tape. Maybe you're thinking more like the Lombardi trophy being lifted up at the end of the Super Bowl. In some ways, the palms are a declaration. What was happening was there was a prophetic declaration of Jesus as king. And it was so intense in the Holy Ghost that, you know, people were just like, I don't know if they really understood the significance truly of what they were doing with these palms, but it was a prophetic declaration of his absolute victory. Palms show up again in the book of Revelation. And it says in Revelation chapter 7, I actually opened to it. It's a great passage. It says that John is looking out and he actually sees the church. In Revelation 7, it says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes." He's talking about us. This is us. "Clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands." And you know what we're declaring? His victory. His victory, that Jesus Christ is the king. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. It is a settled issue. When he said it is finished, it was finished, and he triumphed over his enemies, and we, in a sense, get to celebrate his victory and to walk, in a sense, in the fruits of his work on our behalf. So today I want to give on a Palm Sunday a kind of a victory message that Jesus wants to come, that Jesus wants to come into our lives. And he wants to affect areas because of his great power, because of his intent to adjust us, to change. I want us to celebrate him as the king today. So let's open our Bibles to John chapter 5. By the way, as you're turning there, I just give a quick report. The other churches that are part of the CFC Fellowship are doing very, very well. They're all growing. Great things happening. Different fellowships trying to figure out what to do with, you know, buildings and space and all that kind of stuff. Great problems to have, right? Do we go to two services in different places? Also want to give a report that the Canton Church is now meeting at 25 Court Street for worship. And God's on the move there, so we've had some really great breakthroughs there. And I know Jamie Sinclair, my son, who's the pastor there, he's planning to meet with the mayor of Canton tomorrow morning. And we're talking right now about trying to wrap up things. And so it's some great, great news. So continue to pray. We need God, but some good things happening. So just a good report of the work of God in all the churches. In John chapter 5, we have the story of a man who was infirmed. He was crippled for 38 years. 38 years is a long time. 38 years is enough time to condition you that's the way it's been, that's the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be. After 38 years, you actually find some virtue in just being content, right? And honestly, there is some virtue in contentment. Until Jesus comes along and says, enough. I believe that the Lord is going to come into some areas of contentment today where you've said, that's the way it's been. That's the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be. I think he's going to come into some of those areas today and start to do some shaking up. I really do. And so I want you to open your heart to that end. Father, I pray, Jesus, you're the conqueror. You're the king. We celebrate your victory, and we receive your touch today by faith. Lord, I do pray that you would do a bit of a stirring, a bit of a shaking up here today. There are some areas where we have found a certain grace and a certain contentment in the difficulties, but Jesus, you come along and you want to, in a sense, bring some change. You want to overturn the status quo of our lives, and so I pray for that in all kinds of areas today. Amen. John chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Now this was a place, if you can imagine, just a kind of an open, it's an enclosed courtyard, but a large courtyard. It was an area connected with worship. And it's a busy place. We find out later there's a lot of people. It's kind of a place where people are coming and going. This is the center of Jerusalem, so it's kind of a at that time metropolitan area. There's a lot happening, a lot of activity. The name Bethesda, interesting name, because you know commentators are a little divided on exactly what does that name mean. Kind of could mean the house of suffering, or the house of mercy. And maybe God wants to turn the house of suffering into the house of mercy. House of mercy or house of grace. And so here we have the scene. Jesus is at the pool in Bethesda. Verse 4. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now I want to stop for a moment. The imagery there of the angel coming, this is, in a sense, what had happened was this pool and this circumstance, in the Roman and Greek times, there was a belief that certain pools were used by the gods, and that people, if they got to the pool, they would experience healing. And in some ways, it was the Greek thinking of the time that had affected them. And so here you have all these people, all these sick people around the pool waiting for the stirring of the water, hoping that they're the ones who get into the water first because they would get healed. Jesus comes along and basically says, it wasn't working, was it? But I'm going to show you what does work. Verse 5. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. Again, that's a long time. I don't know what your struggle is and how long it's been, but 38 years is a long time. You know, if you're struggling with something for 1 year, that can seem like an eternity. 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. 38 years, that's like a lifetime. And you get conditioned by that. You just accept it. It's the way it has been, the way it is, the way it will always be, and you just settle. You know, one of the things that God does significantly and repeatedly in his word, he comes along and says, don't be conditioned by your circumstances. Don't let your circumstances and what you have faced and what you are facing, don't let that settle your theology. Get your theology not from your circumstances. Get your theology from looking at him. Get your theology from looking at the King of Kings. 38 years. Now, verse 6. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, you know, if you're underlining things in your Bible, that's like underline that one, you know, long time. He said to him, do you want to be made well? Now stop, don't look ahead. 38 years. You've been in this condition 38 years. Somebody comes along and says, do you want to be made well? What should the answer be? yes! With an exclamation point at the end, right? It should be an absolute, absolutely, that's why I'm here. Because, you know, whoever gets into the water first, once the angel stirs the waters, that they get healed, and that's why I'm here, absolutely. Or at least you'd expect them to say, yes, but you know what? I'm not fast enough, and everybody else seems to get there first, but yeah, of course I want to be healed, that's why I'm here. That's not the answer the guy gives. That's not the answer he gives. Let's continue to read. The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me." I'm telling you, the difficulties of life condition you. They absolutely condition you. They break you. They break you to the point where somebody says, "Do you want to be made whole?" And you're like, can't even answer the question. Can't even say yes anymore. You don't even say yes. You've been there. You know, preacher calls for people to come forward, receive prayer, and you're kind of like, no point. No point. Why bother? You want to be made whole? Can't. Want that area of your life to be restored and changed? That ain't going to happen. And that's where this man was, absolutely just broken. Now, he has enough faith that he's at least at the pool. He's in the right place. But you know what he says? He says, not only does he not say yes, but then he says, it can't happen, and he explains why. You know, we become expert commentators on why God can't move in our lives. Why can't God move in your life? Well, you know what? When the angel stirs the water, I can't get there fast enough because there's all these other people. I've got people around me, and he basically looks at people, and he basically says, I've got people who won't help me, and the ones that are here, they just walk all over me. So he actually not only doesn't answer yes, he basically says it can't happen, and he's got to figure out why it can't happen. I mean, he's getting his theology from 38 years of disappointment. 38 years of disappointment. And Jesus, here at the house of mercy, says to him in verse 8, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." I always loved that. For years I'd read that and I'd think to myself, Jesus, he didn't even give the right answer. You asked him, do you want to be made well? And he'd even say, yes. And I know you can do it. You're the Son of God. Nothing like that. Jesus meets him here in the house of mercy and says, I'm going to show you the power of God. Even in your absolutely broken, despondent, gave up a long time ago, hope is so far back you don't even see it in the rearview mirror anymore. Jesus says, right, take your bed and walk. I mean, it's really, really, this is fantastic. Verse 9, immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. We'll stop there for now. Maybe read a little bit more in a few minutes. So you're getting the picture. Our circumstances condition us. Again, there's some virtue in contentment in the things we struggle with. I'm not saying there isn't, but I'm telling you, there are times when Jesus comes along, and I have to believe, I sense in my spirit that this is one of those days for at least a lot of you, the Lord's going to say to you, no more. No more. He's going to speak to you in some areas and say, you know what? You have accepted what has been, what seems to be, as if it will always be, and the Lord's going to come along to you today. I believe he's going to stir you up, and in a sense, he's going to say the status quo is not going to rule your life anymore. Now, I wonder if this fellow, you know, wasn't also, maybe, you know, maybe he was an encourager of others. I want you to picture him at the pool now. He's there. I don't know how many times he's been there, and he's waiting for the angel to stir the water. He knows that he can't get there first. Spirit if he isn't there saying, I can't get there, but you go. You know, when that water stirs, why don't you get over to the pool? You know, I wondered, I thought to myself, isn't that amazing? I have faith for you, but not for God to touch me. And I think you probably do too. If I told you, you know, I'm just not feeling well, I'm really, really sick, and on and on and on, you'd say, brother, let me pray for you. All the time you're sick and just figuring you got to live with it. I tell you about my problems, you've got all kinds of faith. I know you do, because you do. You pray with me, you stand with me, and it's sincere. But then when it comes to your life, it's kind of like you're in a like almost like an insulated, just free zone. He can touch you and you and you and you and you and you, but not me. I have faith for the guy who sits in front of me, behind me, to my left and to my right, but somehow it's almost like Jesus can't touch me. And I wonder if this guy wasn't even of a good spirit there at the pool. You go for it, buddy. When that angel stirs the water, I mean, you just give it your best and try to be the first one in. Not me, of course, because I can't get there in time. And here you have this guy conditioned by his circumstances. He's got his theology from it. He's like an expert in it. He's got the answer ready. Jesus says, do you want to be made well? He says, I can't, and I'll tell you why, blah, blah, blah. He's been rehearsing this a long time. And Jesus says to him, stop. Rise. Take up your bed and walk. It's like, wow. He wasn't expecting it. I mean, absolutely wasn't expecting it. God's on the move. I thought about several areas that I feel like God wants to touch today in our lives. A number of areas, kind of the connector is they start with the letter F. Family relationships, friendship relationships, finances, your future, and your physical health. I know it doesn't start with an F. I know. But it works. Sounds alike. I can't spell. Think about it for a moment. You've got family situations. Broken heart, maybe marriage, relationship within the family, dreams that you had for a family, and you found grace in the contentment. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I think God wants to come along today and say, do you know what? He wants to stir up. He wants you to rise, take up your bed, and walk. It's time for Jesus to break up the status quo. Some of the friendships, some of the relationships you have with people. And you thought, that's just the way it always is. Always has been. Broken at work, broken friendships, don't get along with people. I feel like an outcast, and on and on and on and on and on. And you've got the theology down. You've got the theology down for why you don't fit in the church and why you don't belong in the body of Christ and nobody likes you and on and on and on. You've got your theology for why people in the neighborhood don't like you and on and on and on. People at work don't like you. And Jesus wants to come along and he wants to change things. You've got issues with your finances. You know? There's a stronghold over your finances, and you're just looking around, and you're thinking, well, everybody up here is struggling. We're all struggling. It's Northern New York, and it's bad, and we're going to struggle, and I've struggled all my life, and daddy before me struggled, and his daddy before him struggled, and we'll struggle, and we'll struggle, and we'll struggle. And Jesus wants to come along and say, you know what? It's breakthrough time. And your future, I think for some of you, and I really felt this very strongly, I think some of you, you're thinking that you're just stuck. You're absolutely stuck in your circumstances. Something happened. It's almost like a door shut on hopes and dreams you had for your life. I don't know if it was a long time ago. I don't know if it's recently, but I felt like a door shut for some of you, and you're kind of like, well, that's just the way it is. It's almost like the door shut, and it got padlocked, and you're just content with it. And Jesus is going to come along to you today and say, do you want that door open? And I know what your answer is. It can't. I know. I know. That's my answer too sometimes, right? It can't. It can't open. Nice question. Thank you. You seem like a nice guy, but it can't open. By the way, this man does not know who Jesus is at this point. You know, if this was, you know, in a movie, you know, it'd be one of those moments when quiet on the set, the lights, everything kind of stops. This man with the flowing brown hair comes along, and it's clearly, this is Jesus. I mean, it's very obvious, right? And the man looks at him, he's like, oh. This isn't like that. As a matter of fact, a few verses later, they ask him, who was it that healed you? He's like, I don't know. Some guy. There's a lot of people around here. All I know is I'm healed. He doesn't realize till later who it was that healed him. And we have those moments, and we're kind of like, can't happen. The door's locked. Jesus wants to come along and say to you, it's time to bust open the locked doors. He's going to do it. He's that merciful. And physical health. I really feel for some of you, again, you've known contentment in the pain you've experienced. You've known contentment. You've learned how to not complain. You've learned the virtue of in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. May we walk in that contentment at all times. Paul said, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. I'm content in it all. But Jesus comes along and says, yet I want to touch you. Yet I want to touch you. Contentment in the Lord does not preclude Jesus from showing up. They're not mutually exclusive. If you find great contentment in some of the struggles, it doesn't mean you have a new theology that Jesus doesn't move anymore. Jesus still wants to move in lives in absolutely profound ways. And I just felt coming over here this morning, I feel like God wants to break through in some areas of status quo. Let's pray right now. I don't know what the area is for you. I don't know what it is. If Jesus came along and said to you, do you want that area changed? Your answer would be very simply and almost solidly, it can't happen. Talked about family relationships, friendship relationships, finances, your future, physical health. Five areas that were on my heart this morning, and maybe there's some others, but I want you to know Jesus wants to break up the status quo right now. Jesus wants to come. And I want you to let the Holy Spirit help you identify what's the area he's speaking to today. Maybe there's more than one, but I want you to say at least one. Holy Spirit, help me to see an area where you want to come into my life and you want to say to me, rise, take up your bed and walk. Rise, take up your bed and walk. And you weren't even expecting it. You just thought today, it's another day, you'd struggle with the same problems, same difficulties, you'd go to church, you'd worship God, and you'd go home and just return to the same problems, same difficulties, same struggles, family relationship, friendships, finances, fear of the future and such, and also physical health. But Jesus meets you at the house of suffering and turns it into the house of mercy. And he says, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Heavenly Father, I thank you today that you want to break the back of despondency and hopelessness by coming along in a way that is absolutely life-changing, that is absolutely an expression of your mercy. Lord, we look at our faith sometimes and we say, yeah, I have faith for everybody else around me, but I honestly, yeah, I don't think so for me. And even that brings condemnation. And even that just brings the next boatload of weightiness upon us. And we feel like a Christian failure. Jesus, you come along. Even when we don't answer the question with the right answer, you come along and say, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Lord, I thank you for that. I ask you today to move in a way that's absolutely profound. I pray for a seed of expectation to be awakened here today. Again, I want you to just identify that area. What is that area God is speaking to you? Is it a marriage relationship? Maybe a family relationship? Is it a is it a relationship with people, people in the body of Christ, or people around you at work? Is it finances? Is it your future? Is it your physical health? And I want you to just see yourself in the bed of affliction, sitting year after year after year in the house of suffering. But Jesus comes along. Jesus coming along today to say, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Lord, I come before you, and I pray for breakthrough. I pray for a breakthrough anointing. Lord, I pray that where we have been so trained by the pain and the bitternesses of life that we've just come to accept, and somehow it's almost like a Jesus-free zone. We love you. We trust you for eternity. But that area is like, Jesus, you can't do anything with that. I know you can't, but that's okay. We almost excuse you from the scene. Jesus, you bust in, unannounced, and you meet us. I ask you to do that today. I ask you to do that today. I ask you to touch. I ask you to revive. I pray where there's been absolute discouragement, I pray hope and expectation revival, and that we would see the miracles of God in the days to come. Lord, I pray that 2 months from now, 2 months from now, everyone here would be able to say in some area, God met me. I had given up. I had lost hope. I had just thrown in the towel in that thing, but Jesus came through in a way that's absolutely profound, and it's been life-changing. Father, I pray for that. I pray that you would do that. Lord, out of your mercy, out of your kindness, out of your goodness, as an expression tangibly of your love for us, Lord, I ask you to touch. If you can identify at least one area, would you just raise your hand right now? As just an expression of Jesus, I'm giving this to you. Whatever that is, maybe one of the areas I mentioned, family relationship, friendship relationship, finances, your future, your physical health, or maybe something else. Lord Jesus, I pray for stirring today. I pray for breakthrough. I pray, oh God, that the things that have seemed totally impenetrable in terms of like a fortress, I pray there'd be transformation, change, the movings of the Spirit of God. Father, I pray for that. Lord, I pray right now, particularly in the area of relationships. There are some relationship strongholds. There are some breaches, Lord, that just seem just unfixable. Lord, I pray right now for you to show up as the repairer of the breach. Lord, I pray for that. I pray that you would do things that's absolutely, Lord. Sometimes we say, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? What do I need to do? Jesus, would you do it? Would you do the thing that we can't, we're not that clever. We're not that good. Lord, I ask you to do that. Lord, I pray even right now for the marriage here that is absolutely falling apart. There's at least one here today, and I pray, oh God, for a breakthrough in that area. For Lord, for you to restore a love and a fresh that right now there's a husband and wife, they're thinking it's impossible. Impossible. It can't happen. I pray, oh God, for that kind of restoration, oh God. Father, I pray for that. In the area of finances, Lord, I pray right now that I pray for a turning of the tide. I pray, Lord, for a job for someone. I pray, oh God, for a new job. I pray for a turning of the finances instead of things breaking all the time, almost like a miracle. Things are getting better. Lord, I pray for that right now. I pray, Lord, where there's been sickness that has not only hurt physically but also hurt financially, I pray for a stoppage of that, and I pray for almost like an impartation of divine health. And Lord, for some who are just wondering, what will the future hold? Which way do I go? What decision do I make? Jesus, I pray that you would visit in an absolutely profound way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 You are faithful. You put those hands down. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you today for your mercy and your touch. Amen. He loves us. His mercies are new every morning. Even when you don't answer the question the right way. He loves us that much. Saints, I don't know what the testimony is going to be. I really have an absolute confidence. 2 months from now, what is this? April 14th. May, June. By early June, I think some of you are going to have some amazing testimonies of God moving in your life. And I almost can feel it right now. You're still sitting here saying, it can't happen. I'm telling you, you're going to see the visitation of God in the house of mercy. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Rick. That was a really good word. So I want to just mention the end of that story in John 5. When Jesus finds the guy in the temple and they're asking who healed you, and he wasn't sure, Jesus finds him. And he says this, "See, I have made you well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you." Usually what we do is we reverse those sentences. We think, sin no more, and then I'll make you well. That's not what the story is. Jesus heals the guy completely motivated by his love, his grace, his power. And then once healed, he's told to go and sin no more. Profoundly different than the way we often think. Amen? Let's stand up, rise, and let's worship Jesus and lay hold of everything he has for us. I can totally relate to just being content. There's things in our life that God wants us to be content over, but then there's probably a bunch of things in our life God doesn't want us to be content and be okay with it. He wants us to just trust him for real breakthrough. Let's worship the Lord just for a minute here. Thank you, Lord God.